Blog Talk Radio.
Angie is in the kitchen right now making herself a ginger ale and rainbow sherbet float at the moment, and I am drinking coffee out of my Twisted Paranormal Society coffee mug. I picked up some honey bun coffee. You know the Hostess honey buns? They have a I got it at the Christmas tree shop like a few months ago. Angie's looking at me like I'm like I got two heads over here. But this honey bun coffee with French toast flavored coffee creamer. Mostly drinking this to stay warm because it's about 30 degrees in here.
You know what?
It's like 90 degrees outside, and I'm sitting here with my, you know, red Outer Banks hoodie sweatshirt on and long pants because we like to keep it Arctic temperatures in here, which is better than sweating our ass off, right?
Exactly.
So let me first get started, let you know. Welcome to the show, by the way. Thank you for listening. If you're listening now, great. Hello. If you're listening later or you're downloading the podcast later, great. Hello. Nice of you to come join us. We got some housekeeping stuff to take care of before we get started here. We have some news. This is our last show for on Sunday night, four Sundays. I don't even listen. This last show on Sunday nights for a while. Maybe permanently. I don't know. But we are going
to see the way the world works.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see how, you know, we just go with the flow. We go with the flow. But the flow was taking us to Tuesday nights. Angie got a job working at as a camp counselor.
No, a camp nurse.
Oh, sorry.
Definitely not a counselor. God bless those counselors because they do the hardest job. And, yeah, I couldn't. I could not.
I mean, the long and the short of this, you got a job at a camp.
Yeah, I got a job at camp.
And
camp nursing for the summer. Now, this is not my first go of it, so I know what I'm getting into. I'll be returning to Camp Hanover.
This is my first go of it.
This will be his first go, and it's going to be interesting because he is definitely not a camp boy.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who are like, I'll go for a week. Oh. By the time the week is done, I'm like, I cannot wait to go home.
By the time the day is done, you're like, all right, let's
so
go
I think,
home now.
Yeah, I know exactly. So, yeah, I may be coming home and sleeping in the house with the ghost every once in a while, just to. Of course, we still have our apartment here,
mm-hmm.
So. You know, we're having an apartment, and we'll be out in the camp Hanover. So Sunday nights are like
check-in day.
The check-in day, yeah. So she's a nurse, so she's got to be, you know, getting up meds and doing all this stuff. And it's just tough for her to try to do the show and do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's not possible on Sundays.
Yeah, it's just too much. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to move just back to Sundays, and we'll be going from 9 to 10. So, because our friend Jerry, five time with Jerry, is going to go slide right into her slot in front of us. So, it's going to be like, we're going to have like a reunion.
I'm so excited. Jerry's coming back.
I know. We're going to be reunited and it feels so
good.
Good. That's right. That's how it goes. So, we're excited. I am kind of sad that we're leaving Supernatural Sundays. It was fun, you know, being the show before. You know, hanging out with me on, you know, Howie and all them and being part of that deal.
Group.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we'll always be sharing Howie's shows and we'll give him all the love he, you know.
And we might be back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We just know from.
I do enjoy having the show from 8 to 9 because it's good. That's getting done early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think. Yeah, I think it's gonna be fun. It's good to be back with Jerry and stuff. I think our guests were actually on the line. Oh, they're there. They're on the line. Said they caught off. They're like tired of hearing us talk. God, what a shot!
It's our turn.
Oh,
come on.
Jeez. Only a few more things to talk about. We've had some weird shit happen here the past few days.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting couple of days.
Stuff falling off the shelves and stuff. But always
knocking
stuff
on the door.
Yeah. Yeah, and stuff that's falling off the shelf is never stuff that I would notice. You know, a cup fell off the shelf. But I don't know where the cup was. So I can't be I never put stuff on the edge of a counter or on the edge of anything where it could just fall off by itself.
Well, it was in a cabinet with the door closed. You know, so I mean, if it's gonna, it can't be on the edge. Like, it's got to be somewhere where it can slide, hit the door, and then
yeah.
fall. You know what
and
I'm
plus
saying?
Plus, people are like, we have a kid. Well, kid can't reach that high, one thing. And the kid was in
the
living room with me. Angie, looks. I'm at my back turned. I'm standing by the front door. I'm at my back turned looking at her, and looking at her, and she's looking out, and she said, "Someone just walked by."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, it's outside. Is it a person? And describe what you saw.
It was just like a black figure, probably a little shorter than you, probably a tiny bit taller than me, so a lot shorter than you, just kind of walked behind you from, and you know when someone's coming from up the steps, you can see how they gradually get taller?
Yeah.
Well, this didn't do that. Like, it just went straight across, like it was going down the hall behind us, which is not really a hall. It's open.
It's just an open area, you know, for an apartment complex.
But, like, literally, there was no door open and closed. Didn't hear anybody going back down the stairs on that side. Like, and it was just a dark black figure. No clothes, no dis, just
And you've seen it
blackness.
You've seen it more than once, right?
Yeah. And our, like, I bought a new apartment. RJ will just stare in the kitchen. You know, he's been staring at our closet lately. And, I mean, it's just a lot of crap going on around here.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm like, well, I might stay here by myself. And then again, I'm like, I really don't be dealing with this shit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been interesting. It hasn't really done anything too terrible yet. Watch stuff start. I can't say stuff not flying off the shelves because it's already But yeah, that's what's going on with our ghost problem here at the apartment. This weekend I'm part of Commonwealth Researchers of the Paranormal. All right, CROP for short. And we have a overnight investigation at Pamplin Park this weekend. Pamplin Park is a battlefield in Petersburg, Virginia. Lots of casualties. Big, huge, like, I think 400 acres. And you can spend the night out there. It's lots of activity. I can't be there because I have a lot of stuff going on. My daughter's graduating from high school. Our Angie's birthday. Happy birthday, Angie.
Woo.
Is on Wednesday. So, yeah. It's a lot of stuff going on this weekend, so I can't be there. But if you listen to this podcast and you're like, hey, I want nothing to do. I got nothing to do this weekend.
I want nothing to do.
In that case, just stay home.
That sounds like my life.
Exactly. Just stay home. If you want nothing to do, just stay home because don't listen to this because, yeah, it'll be something to do. That's not what you want. So, but if you want something to do and you're bored and you want to look for ghosts, you know, go out to Hampton Park. And, of course, if you are bored and you want to look for ghosts, come out to the cabin on 360. We have ghosts there. We have lots of ghosts there. Here. God, ghosts come out the ass over the cabin on 360. Oh,
that's interesting. Could you film that?
I might.
Ghost coming out the ass?
That's what my my fart really bad. That's what it is. It's a ghost coming out my ass. God, this coffee has something in it.
Tiredness?
Not anymore because I'm drinking this coffee. Mm. So I think we're done with our housekeeping. I could bitch and moan about the past week we've had, but you know what? No one wants to hear that. So I'm going to go ahead and put our guests on the line here. We've got Paranormal 30 on the show with us tonight. They are a paranormal investigator, paranormal investigative group, I should say, out of West Virginia. Let's see here. Their main focus is demonic and occult related hauntings.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. This should be fun. Our team of experts always will look into whatever inexplicable situation that concerns you. We utilize the latest equipment as well as our intuition and knowledge. With us, your peace of mind is guaranteed. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm reading off their website here. Super excited to talk to these folks here. So let's go ahead and put them on the show and see what they have to say. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
We're doing really well. We're hanging out by the beach today, enjoying some sun.
Ooh, nice.
Now I'm jealous.
I know.
Now we're sitting here in our kitchen looking at the mess that our son provided for us.
I might have helped a little.
Plenty of that waiting for us when we get back home.
He's discovered Play-Doh, and we've got this pizza making set, and he thinks that if it's in the shape of food, then it's got to be food. So
he's eaten more Play-Doh in 2 days than.
I really think he's pooping Play-Doh. He's a Play-Doh fun factory coming out of his butt.
And there's more Play-Doh in every nook and cranny in this house than I've ever seen in my life. And
he's
I work at a daycare.
He's got rainbow poop. Terrible.
So now that we're talking about our son's poop.
You're in the fucking stage.
This is what a great way to start off a show, right?
Absolutely.
I got myself into. So which beach are you guys at?
We are in at Emerald Island, North Carolina.
Ooh, nice.
I used to go there. That's awesome. That's a beautiful place.
Beautiful place, beautiful weather right now, nice and peaceful. Love it.
Are you doing some lighthouse ghost hunting while you're there?
You know, we've seriously been debating maybe popping in a few places, but you know, family and all that good stuff. So I don't know if we're going to be able to or not, but if we do, check the page because we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, when we go to the beach, it's hard to find time to go out and investigate because you feel like when you're on vacation with your family, there's something to do every night pretty much, and it's hard to get away and do that. You have to really got to be focused on that because then you got to want to go back and see all the evidence. It's hard to do that with everybody around. It's tough.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Plus, it's good to stay focused on family while you're down there and stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's always nice to get for a bit.
I'm having a total, like, memory loss here. Do you ever contact us about the cabin on 360?
Yeah, I think we're scheduled to go there next month, yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I talked about the cabin. Yes. All right. Awesome. So how did you get into this and into the paranormal? Tell us like how you guys got started. Were you always into it, like as a kid, or was it something that just happened recently?
Sure. So with me personally, my journey with the paranormal and the unknown started when I was young. You know, maybe 7 or 8 years old. I remember living in a house that my mom and stepdad had. We just moved there and waking up with sleep paralysis. Of course, at the time, you know, had no idea what any of that stuff was. But that was when I first encountered a shadow figure. And, you know, of course, it scared me to death, had no idea what was going on. Several years after that, when I was maybe preteen, some things started happening again where I would hear stuff, was always seeing this one particular figure, and that's just piqued my interest. And then from early teens to 30s, here I am today, still enjoying it, still trying to find answers.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. Well, she looked like she's about to say something. So I probably should have asked you to do this before. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves so people know who's talking and stuff?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Well, my name's Austin. I'm the lead investigator. I started Paranormal 304 back in 2016, and then with me is...
Maria.
Maria's a little gun-shy.
Sorry.
We're crazy over here. Just relax. It's all good.
We talked about our son's poop, for Christ's sake.
We don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just
we're
having
best
a good time.
Friends.
Very good point. Trust me, we've been there. We've got a toddler ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God bless you. May the force be with you.
How old is the boy or girl?
Boy.
Okay.
Oh, man. Double down.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, I have a girl. We both have girls, and the girl did not adequately prepare us for this boy.
No, she did not. No.
So, God bless. I feel so close to you right now.
God.
It's right?
We're bonded over here.
Whole new experience. You think dealing with ghosts and all this other stuff's hard? Try dealing with a four-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't get better. Yeah. So you're telling us it doesn't get better. I'm like, well, maybe if he can understand what I'm saying, he won't do what he's doing.
No.
No. So there's no hope.
There's no hope.
Right. Yeah.
Start praying.
Accept it now.
That's right. Just, all right.
So it was Maria?
Yes.
How did you get involved in the paranormal?
I mean, I've always been interested in it, and I've always experienced stuff when I was little, but my family's not big on the paranormal. And then when I met Austin, I guess I had an encounter where I fell into depression, and I told him some stuff, and he ended up opening up to me about how he was into it, and that's just whenever he decided to start the team. And I mean, pretty much, yeah.
That's cool. You guys kind of bonded over the paranormal. It's kind of like what happened with us.
Yeah.
You know, we had that same kind of experience, you know.
So do you guys balance each other out? Like, are one of you more skeptical than the other? Because that's how we are. We balance each other out nicely. Mm. I am definitely like more scientific and a little on the skeptical side, even though I do have some abilities.
I mean, yeah.
And Ryan is just like, oh my God, it's a ghost.
I mean, not everything. I mean, I'm not like, you know, every noise. Oh my God, we're haunted. We're possessed.
We go through the same things. Maria here is very intuitive, so to speak, and can often see and feel things that I can't. So I'm always the one saying, are you sure that didn't just kind of maybe somebody bumped it and it fell off on its own? Or I'm always running around behind her like, I don't know, let's check the tape.
Yeah.
Angie's the same way. She can see things.
I'm more feel.
But you saw that spirit.
Yeah.
You know, she sees spirits and stuff. When you started Paranormal 304, was Maria part of the group, or did she join later?
Maria started with me. She started with me. We were married in 2018, and we started the group in 2016, a couple years prior to that. So yeah, she's been there since the get go.
And how many people are in the group?
We've got 4 solid members right now. We've got myself, Maria, Tesla, who runs our cases, and we have Chase in the group as well. He does a lot of our tech stuff.
Tell us about your first case. What was that about? What can you remember about that case?
Which one?
Your first investigation.
It might have been, yeah. So yeah.
That was freaky.
Yeah. So before we had the solid group we have now, we were, you know, we were experimenting and with other people. But anyways, we had went to a place that a friend recommended and went with. It's called the Chimney in Clay County, West Virginia. And the rumor and the story behind the place was the local townspeople had caught wind that witches lived in this house out in this big open field. And retaliation, they burnt down the house, and the only thing left of the standing of the house was the chimney. And they said they believe it's still standing because the witches drew some kind of or did some kind of spell, you know, right in that particular spot. So that was the story behind it and why we kind of wanted to go there. I think that night when we went out, of course, we always go out late. I think probably around midnight. The moon was beautiful. You could see, I mean, as far as you could want to see. And what was the first experience? Was it the howling? Was that the first thing we caught down there?
I think maybe also the children.
Yeah, so I think the first thing we caught on camera and on voice recorders was this insane yelling, howling noise. And it sounded like, you know, maybe it could have been an animal. I don't know for sure. I never could quite debug it, but we caught that. Of course, it was screechy enough to send shivers down your spine. And throughout the night, each member had something happen to them. One experience where a couple of them were touched by what we think were maybe children that were kind of still lingering. We don't know for sure, but that's what we're assuming.
You can hear laughter.
You can hear the laughter. I had gotten shoved.
No, you didn't get shoved. You got lifted up into thin air.
Well,
oh, wow.
I got pushed very, very. I got pushed very, very hard, and I have a very bad tendency of trying to provoke things, and So I was doing my best to provoke, you know, whatever was there to try to get some type of reaction. And I got a reaction, and it hit me. It felt like something just, like, just smacked me full force, like maybe a linebacker, and knocked me through the air a couple of feet backwards. And I had this huge, huge bruise on my chest, big red mark. I mean, it was just, it was insane. Never have that, has that ever happened to me, and I hope it never happens again, truth be told.
Yeah, wow. That's your first case?
That was our
first
team, yeah.
Wow. Jeez, talk about being shoved into the deep end. Jeez. Yeah. All right. You would retain a ball into that.
It was crazy. You see stuff like that on television, and you watch videos and things too, but you never really think it's real until it happens to you.
Mm-hmm. And that's I've said it before. You don't really believe it until it happens to you. There's always that doubt until it happens to you. And then some people still don't believe it, which I don't understand, but, you know, that's just me.
Now, have you guys ever had a I'm getting the hell out of here moment? I mean, that sounds like it's pretty close to one, being pretty much lifted up off the ground.
Yeah, if that doesn't do it, you know.
Is there a case that comes to mind that you were just, you almost didn't make it through?
Well, that one for sure, we did leave right after that. But
that's what I was going to say.
There's been a few where we've had moments where we were like, we should probably get out of here before things get a little too out of hand. What was one of them you can think of? Well, what about the Opera House? Didn't we ended up leaving early.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah.
You tell that one. Well, I'm going to miss details.
I remember wanting to leave, but I think my reasoning was because I saw a girl, and she, like, freaked me out because she was, like, looking dead into my eyes, and she, like, I don't know, it felt like she was, like, trying to get into me somehow, some way, and I just didn't like that feeling. She didn't give off a very good vibe or anything, so she kind of freaked me out, and I couldn't really tell anyone about her because she like wanted me to keep my mouth shut the entire time, if that makes sense. But
the girl was a ghost.
I don't know why.
Was it a ghost girl?
What was it?
Was it a ghost girl? I mean, was it, like, was it a spirit, or was it an actual person that just rubbed you the wrong way?
It was a ghost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, no one else saw her. Like, I could see her. She was sitting in the aisle to the far left, and then she would, like, walk like in front of you or something, but like, I don't know.
I remember we were in the hall.
I can't remember
the place where we were at was the Rose Opera House in was it in Ohio?
No.
It's in Kentucky, and it's a super cool place if you ever get a chance to go there.
There was also with the, you wanted to sleep upstairs. And I didn't want to sleep upstairs, nor did Tesla want to sleep upstairs.
That was the same place. Yeah,
it's the same place. Yeah. Same place, but different timing.
Yeah, so we've been there twice.
Yeah.
But, I remember you, because, see, we were downstairs in the bottom level of this opera house, which they had turned into a movie theater. And, you know, when you've been with somebody for so long, you can kind of pick up on some things. Like, if they're feeling uncomfortable, I'm sure you guys probably can say the same about yourselves, but, you know, I remember questioning her and asking, you know, like, what's going on? Why are you being so quiet? You know, this and that. And,
I can't tell you.
Yeah, you know, we decided to take a break, and we ended up going outside because it was in the dead of winter. It's cold in there anyway, so we went in the car and warmed up. And one of our team members fell asleep in the back seat, and that's when I went back in there because I had some equipment. I was like, well, I'm going to check the cameras. So I go back in, And as I'm walking in, there's a staircase to the left. And right in the staircase on the opposite side is a mirror, so you can look in that mirror and kind of see up the steps. So I'm going in almost to where the staircase is, and here goes a black figure in the mirror going up the steps. And
same one that I saw.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I froze, and I was like, wait a minute.
I looked at him, and I was like, you saw her, didn't you? And he was like, you saw who? And I said, I tried to explain to him what I saw, and he said, yeah, I did.
And that's when she told me the feeling she had and, like, what she was, the vibe she was getting about how, you know, I'll just say malevolent this particular entity was. So we decided to, we ended up calling it. Yeah, we packed it up that night after that.
Headed out.
After seeing it and feeling it for myself, I was like, yeah, this is some bad juju. Let's go.
Yeah. And I really cannot wait to get you guys to the cabin or more appropriately the Brick Rancher, just to see what you guys can pick up on out there, because you've got some pretty, you know, interesting stuff being caught out there. I'm super excited about having you guys come out here next month.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. So what do you think was, what do you think was the spirit belonged there, or was it like an evil, like demonic spirit you think you saw, or what do you think it was at the theater?
Well, you've got more insight than I do.
I think it was more like demonic, because it wasn't very friendly, or it didn't give off a very good vibe. Like, it didn't want you there. It definitely didn't want me to speak about it or anything. Like, I couldn't talk the entire night, literally. Like, I was scared to.
Oh, wow. So it was like a territorial thing, like it was protecting its territory and didn't want you to know too much, sounds like.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe we got off. But I could say that we did get some pretty incredible footage there, too, of some spirits moving about while we were actually on Facebook Live, which was insane. But that place is very active. And we've been back, and the second time we went back, had a similar experience where nobody seemed to be brave enough to go upstairs by themselves. And I think it was because of that particular entity. Can't say for sure, you know, but definitely something darker there, no doubt about it.
So I read on your website that you guys do a demonic and occult cases. Having a 4-year-old, are there certain cases that you're like, I can't do this, or I'm afraid for, like, taking stuff home with you when it comes to, you know, having a kid at home?
Sure. There's been a few that I've you know, thought about long and hard before we've gone out and done them. My thought process is, you know, we have a little bit more power than whatever's out there. You know, we're alive, it's not. But I think if we have the right mindset, we can keep away, you know, anything trying to attach to us and come home with us. That's mm-hmm. a good thought anyways.
So is there anything that you do when you're leaving, some of your worst investigations, or you know, to kind of keep the stuff there or protect yourself from not bringing it home?
Yeah,
you know, because I'll tell you, past month, I have been thinking a lot about, because I have taken pretty much a hiatus in doing some investigating since we had our son, you know, for reasons of, A, when I got pregnant, like, my abilities just blew up. Like, it was insane throughout my pregnancy and right after. So I really didn't want to. And then, two, like, I'm always kind of worried about the things that I can see and feel, and bringing any of that emotion home with me, because I feel like children are very sensitive, whether they have abilities or not, to that sort of thing. So I've been thinking about getting back into it recently because, you know, he's three now, can leave him alone with the teenagers. But, like, what do I do to kind of keep that there other than saying, okay, nobody, you know, the old cliche, you stay here, I'm going home now, which honestly I don't think works.
Right.
Okay,
so now I was studying, taking some demonology courses and some things like that a couple of years ago. Something that was said to me by one of the teachers was, you know, anytime you do something that involves otherworldly beings, before you leave that place, you always want to bless yourselves with holy oils or holy water, something of that nature. Rebuke it, and you know, of course, I'm Catholic, so in the name of Christ, you know, if you're something else, I'm sure there's another protocol you could go by, but you do that. You have faith that that your higher power is going to protect you and leave whatever's there and move on. That's what I was told to do, and that's how I've always tried to do it anytime we've left anywhere.
You really need to believe in what you believe in, like, because that's
absolutely
the power right there.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't believe in it, then it's just words.
Hey, I think all this stuff going on around here is your fault. I think you brought something home that night of the investigation about a month ago.
What's the investigation?
The last one that you did.
Cabin?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I didn't even. I was sitting there hanging out at the law cabin.
See, that's when it gets you. You just hanging out. It just attached to you.
Yeah. I brought some guests home with me, maybe.
I really think you did.
It's definitely picked up a lot over here, but it's nothing terrible.
Do you guys feel like you've ever brought anything home with you? And if you did, how did you get rid of it?
Do you want to tell? You don't want to tell? Yeah, we've definitely brought stuff home with us, not meaning to, and it doesn't help that I have a little collection of haunted objects in my house.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've brought stuff home with us, and I'm the kind of person, you know, I went to seminary, and you know, I have a logical type of brain process, and when I think things out, and I always look for logic. So Maria is the one that's you know, very sensitive to these things, and she told me what wasn't that long ago, which that I brought something back with me.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was at work and she was at home by herself, and she calls me in a panic, telling me that there's something there and that I brought it in, and this and that. So of course I rushed home, tried not to give it a lot of thought. That's just the person I am, you know. I'm always, you know, thinking, well, you know, there's probably a logical explanation. But I'm always thinking logical about this stuff. But anyway, I do come home and anytime she tells me something, I always go through the house and I bless the house. You know, if you want to, you can tell them what it was. But
I mean, it was that girl from the opera house that came on with us, and it was she ended up trying to hurt Austin. We had a few experiences where Austin almost did end up dying, and it was because of her. We were sleeping one night, and we had a drink on the bedside table, and there was no way that any of us could reach it, not even if we, like, moved our arm while sleeping or anything. But, like, the drink woke us up because it had fallen off the bedside table into the floor, and luckily it woke us up. But there was a whole lot of electrical outlets right there. And normally Austin will wake up in the middle of the night because he has to get up. But luckily he didn't step in it. But that happened. And then he almost got into a car accident a really bad car accident, and luckily the car stopped itself. But
love the technology.
He had a few experiences because of her, so he had to stop it.
Yeah, yeah. After those, that's when I went through and performed, you know, a house blessing and all that kind of stuff. And our house is kind of funny to begin with. There's definitely, you know, spirits there, and they've been there for a very long time. Most of the time they leave you alone, you know. But there's there's never a moment where you're actually alone in our house.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so that girl from the theater fascinates me. Like, just trying to figure out what she is or who she is or why she has a problem with you guys is
she's a big meanie.
Big fat poo-poo head, apparently.
Yeah, no, we really don't know. You know, we didn't catch a lot of, like, recordings about it. We did catch this very demonic scream when we were inside the opera house, and it was on, we caught it on camera as well. It was quite freaky, and we believe that it was her screaming at us, but, you know, no solid proof of that, but we caught it on camera, to say the least. That freaked me out.
I wonder, you know, the screaming you heard at the witch's house, and then being shoved across the, and then to hear screaming again. I wonder if that woman is from the witch's house, or has anything to do with the witch's house, or followed you from there.
It's possible that that we've had stuff linger, you know, and follow us from other places. Like I said, I provoke things, and it should. My family has some witchy blood in it from generations above me, and I've totally gone against it. I think that's maybe plays into why I get affected a lot by these things, because I refuse to go down that particular path, and I chose the path of ministry instead. I think that plays a role. But yeah, there's been times where we've definitely been followed by stuff, and it's very possible that something from that place followed us on through.
Now, do you guys get a lot of, we're not going into details, like too much details, but I know it's private, but do you guys get a lot of like private cases? And is there one that stands out as some pretty is there anything that's
like pea soup,
yeah,
spewing,
well,
head turning,
without all that actually happening? Of course it does happen. That's what we hear about.
Yeah, the we get a lot of people reach out and ask for help, but at the end of the day they usually don't want to accept our help. I'm not sure why. We did have a interesting house case a couple of months ago that we worked on for, God, 3 or 4 months trying to rid this place of whatever was there. And ultimately, the homeowner was like, you know, I'm just going to have to try to deal with it because we can't seem to pinpoint it. And, you know, you guys probably know, without knowing for sure what's there, it's very difficult to banish, you know, something. You really need to, you know, its name, know what it is in order to really get rid of it. And we never could quite pinpoint it. So that was an interesting case that we worked on for quite a while. But I did have a, and I won't give any of the real details, but I did have a person come to me that we 100% believe was possessed. And they had gone to a local cemetery and played around a little bit and with things they shouldn't have played around with. And this girl got something attached to her. So my friend calls me and he tells me what's going on. At first I'm like, man, you know, this, you're just pulling my leg. Like, you know, I've never had someone just flat out ask me like, hey, do you think you can perform an exorcism, like, out of the blue? I'm like, man, what's going on? Are you having a few drinks? What really happened? And, you know, trying my best to be like, try not to get involved because I don't know the situation. And he says, well, can I just bring her to you and you use your, you know, your best judgment? And I said, okay, well, bring her by the house. And it was like, what, maybe midnight, something like that. And so I go outside, you know, and talk to the girl and talk to the people that she was with. And right before I came out, they told me that she was very freaked out that I was there. She didn't want me around. Very angry about the whole situation. So I get and sit in the car with her and asking her questions. And you can tell, like, she's visibly, you know, just agitated just talking to me. And she told me at one point that she regretted coming there and that she used the word we don't like you. I was like, okay, we, like, what do you mean? Who's we? And she just went silent on me. And I sat there for a second, and I was like, holy crap, wait a minute. This is legit. So I get out of the car, leave her in the car for a minute. I tell them what I think. And I had got it in my mind that the best route to go, because the church isn't open at midnight. And, you know, cemeteries are technically hallowed ground. So I told them, let's go back to the cemetery where this thing came from, and if you can try to guide me into the right place where you think it is or what you think it is, then maybe we can put it back in its place. So we did, and we go there. The girl's petrified of being there. She hates the fact that I'm there. She's cussing at me, all kinds of crazy stuff. And we found the grave that she most, you know, rejected. Like, she didn't want to be around that particular grave. So I used that as my starting point and started, you know, just verbatim reading the ritual. And she starts to walk away from me, starts screaming at me. And I told my friend, I was like, you know, we can't let her get away from us. You know, once I start this, we have, like, it has to be finished. Like, I can't just stop. So we catch back up to her. And he kind of holds her still while we're, you know, while I'm going through this ritual, and she's mad and she's angry. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh my God, I feel fine now. I'm better, you know. Oh, thank you so much, and this and that. And I'm like, oh, well, great, I did it. It's over. My friend goes back to grab, because I had left my briefcase. I said, you know, go grab my briefcase, and I'll sit with her for a second. And we sat down on the ground, and I'm just trying to talk to her, and she starts laughing, this, like, very creepy, odd laugh, and told me that my time was coming and that I should have never came here. And I looked at her, and I said her name, and I said, are you okay? And she didn't say anything back. I was like, oh, crap, it's not over. So I get back up, put my stole back on, and start at it again. She gets angry. She tries to get up. You know, I make her sit on the ground. And then I get to the end of the ritual, and still everything's the same. So I started using my own formula of prayer, and just I call it my dad voice, but I used my dad voice, you know, and trying to get that oomph. And the next thing you know, she starts vomiting like crazy. And literally, me and my friend, you could see, like, this look like a black smoke kind of lift up off of her. I mean, it was just, it was insane. And after that, she has no recollection of anything that happened. It was like a fresh start.
Oh, wow.
That is very, very, very interesting. It does sound intense. I'm gonna say that was very cool, but probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, people, like, still people think of that stuff as just stuff you see in the movies, and again, like you said, it's not real until it happens to you.
Right, absolutely.
You know.
I mean, even so, me being me, I was skeptical. I was like, this can't be happening, you know. And there's no way.
Yeah.
And there it is.
That is. Well, I'm glad that you were able to help her. So,
yeah.
When you talk to her, when did she start feeling like? How far back does she remember? Like,
she could remember when we talked. Going to the cemetery, like the first time, not when I went with her, but she can remember going there.
Yeah.
And she said she can remember leaving, but from the point of leaving until she said it's blank, and then she just remembers me standing over top of her praying some prayer. She said there's a big blank middle section, which would have been a couple hours time lapse, because they came to me that night. They did that.
Well, I've had experiences. I had a girl took a friend of mine out to the cabin with the two friends, husband and wife, went out there. We went out to the woods, and we came back from we're walking back to the cabin. All of a sudden, the girl stops and looks at me, looks at her husband, and she was like, "Where am I? Like, what are you talking about?" She's like, I don't know where I am right. Who are you?" And she, you know, obviously didn't recognize her husband. She starts freaking out, starts scratching at her skin, trying to say, "I don't know where I am. I don't want to be here." And I'm sitting here. I don't have the background to be dealing with this. So I'm looking. I'm online on my phone looking up prayers and stuff, trying to figure out what to do. Luckily, my friend Howie was doing a show at the cabin.
Exorcisms for Dummies.
Exactly. Yeah, Exorcisms for Dummies. That's what Angie said. But I finally got Howie to come down because he's experienced. He's done that kind of stuff before. He calms her down. Turns out that she had a experience with a Ouija. I was from out of state, a Ouija board. She used a Ouija board in a graveyard when she was younger, and she said stuff like that happens to her every once in a while. So it's weird when you experience it, because she like I said, she doesn't remember anything. She just remembers that she saw a little girl in the woods, and she said that she thinks the little girl may have possessed her. And I don't know. You see, I don't know if she would fake that, because there's no reason for her to fake it. She's not going to gain anything from it.
She would not fake that.
Yeah.
Like,
And she's not into the paranormal.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
She's not really that invested to fake something like that, you know?
Right, yeah. That's kind of how I felt with the person I was with. She wasn't really into this stuff, so what does she have to gain from bringing me out into all this mix?
Exactly. Yeah. I know there's no financial gain or popularity gain.
You're not getting on TV.
Yeah, you're not making a TikTok, and people are like, you get a million views. There is no video involved, no nothing. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me like, okay, this is real, because there's no reason for her to fake this unless,
yeah.
You know. And I don't think she's that kind of person.
Strange.
Or your friend.
It's something we read about. It's something that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are really interested in, but you just don't realize how real it is until you're confronted with it.
So we only have about 5 minutes left, and I want to use some of it to ask my favorite question, and that is, can you give me your top, both of you, you can answer separately, your top three paranormal bucket list locations. Money's no object. Just what do you want to investigate anywhere in the world before you go?
You want to go? You need to go? All right. I 100% want to go to Peru and investigate at some of the temples they have. Stonehenge,
right.
Want to go there.
Yeah.
If I ever had the chance, that would be insanely cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have to say probably the last one would be, oh, that's tough. That's a tough one.
There's no wrong answer.
Probably Salem, yeah. I have to go to Salem to the witch trials. And just
yeah,
into
we were
somebody's
just talking about.
Those are all good.
Thanks.
All good choices.
Or Amityville. Oh. I should throw Amityville in there, too. That would be an awesome place.
Yeah, I just gave you ideas.
You did.
You're taking my ideas.
That's your bonus location.
Bonus, yeah.
Well, she gets me, too.
That's true.
Well, I gave you two of mine. Great. gosh, what do you think?
It's tough. When you're on the you're on the spot like that,
yeah.
Your mind goes blank. You're like, wait a second, I forgot where I forgot every permanent location.
I guess one of them it would have to be the Mayan temples because I'm actually Mayan Indian, so that'd be one of them. Second one would be, let me think. And this is tough. You took two of mine. where is that one? Because there's multiple ones, but is it Rhode Island? Or is it? Okay. So I don't know the location, but one of them would have to be one of the Conjuring houses.
Oh, yeah. Is it Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Rhode Island?
Oh,
yeah,
Rhode Island?
With you.
Yeah. I thought it was Rhode Island, but I wasn't sure. And then the third one, what is underneath the water? the third one. Oh, goodness, this is tough. Don't you have to take my...
I'll give you mine. My top one that I've got to go to is the Winchester Mystery House.
That's one she always
talks
about.
I cannot wait. That is my top.
I always get this way when people ask me what I want for Christmas and I cannot think of anything I've ever wanted. I'm like, I have no idea.
Mm.
You know? Of course, if people don't ask me the question, they can think off my head.
Wait, why is it cutting us off 2 minutes early?
290, you said 90 seconds.
Oh, 90.
We got like 90 seconds left.
I feel like the Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Music is playing in the back of my head.
Whenever
she comes on and says 60 seconds to us, because no one else can hear it but us.
Yeah, the little British lady told us there have 90 seconds left to go on our show. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to promote your stuff and let people know how to get in touch with you guys.
I already got it.
That was that one. I don't think I'm saying it right, but it's Alwick Castle in England.
Nice.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. So Hate to be short with you guys, but we only have like a minute left. I want to give you guys a chance to promote yourselves. Like, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to reach us, Facebook us at Paranormal304. You can find us on the web at paranormal304.weebly.com. But best way, instant message us on Facebook.
We also have a phone number.
Perfect. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Enjoy your vacation.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we'll see you soon. Okay?
Bye.
Right, guys, take care.
Bye. Have a good one.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
You're on to bonus time here, but Yeah. Next week we'll be on, I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to do it because, you know, we'll be living in a cabin and we have a baby who will hopefully be asleep at 10, 9 o'clock.
I hope. He'll be so exhausted. It'll be the first week. So, yeah, he should be out.
Yeah. So we've got Whitney Zahar coming on the show next week to talk about eugenics. She wrote a book. We had her on the show a few months ago, and she was talking about
was it a few months ago? I think it was more like, was it a year ago?
I think it was last year. Everything runs together with this stuff, with the pandemic and stuff.
The vid.
Yeah, so we're having her on the show Tuesday night, and then the next week is when Jerry starts up. She'll be starting up with us on the 29th. So 22nd, we'll be back, 9 o'clock, Tuesday, November. July 22nd. No, God damn, June 22nd.
June. That's my brother's 22nd. Birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday. All right, so, yeah, I can't reach this recording left. Let's see here, 57.
Yeah, I don't understand why it made us get off when it's saying we have.
This is, it doesn't say we're on air, though. I mean, it's still recording it, though, so it'd probably still be on the podcast.
And she didn't come on and say, goodbye.
Well, it was cut off on us. So, anyway.
Well, anyway, this is interesting, but I want to go finish my show, so.
We will talk to you later.
Bye.
We'll be here. Same freaking awesome, different freaking awesome time.
Yeah. But same freaking awesome
channel. Bye.